You are listening to Singularity, episode 12. Welcome, Miracle Makers. I am Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we are not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. Each season, we'll be discussing our way through a different sacred or inspired text. Join us with season one as we find our truths in A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just like the Course itself will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others, this one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. So go ahead and grab your coffee, have your pen and paper handy, and follow along in the text if you have it. Don't forget a free version is available at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Here we go. Hello, Miracle Makers. Welcome back to another episode of Singularity. We are on episode 12. Thank you for joining me today. Now, before we get into the text, I'm going to share a news clip with you from News E. Miracles happen all the time, but this one was caught on a security camera. Take a listen to this.
This CCTV footage is making headlines. A little boy in Brazil run over by a car, but he seems unfazed. We want to warn you, this is a little shocking to watch.
The speeding car slammed into a parked car, sending it flying and knocked them to the ground. Did you see how it rolled right over them? The little boy jumps right back up and checks on grandma, and she's like, what is happening?
According to the Daily Mirror, the boy suffered just a few cuts and bruises on his face and stayed with the woman in the video, his 56-year-old grandmother, until an ambulance arrived. The boy is reportedly just 5 years old. He was taken to a hospital and tested because, in the video, the car appears to run over his head. The Independent reports he was okay, though, and released the same day, and his grandmother was released the next day. She said she did see blood coming out of her grandson's nose and mouth at first and feared the worst, but again, doctors determined his wounds are just superficial. The Daily Mirror also quotes his grandmother as saying, "I feel as if we've been born again. It's a miracle we're still alive." The story is going viral, and many outlets, including CNN, agree it's amazing. Words like miracle are being used as the footage spreads across the internet. For Newsy, I'm Lauren Zima.
If you haven't seen this footage, I recommend that you do. You must see it with your own eyes. When you do, notice how you feel when you're watching it. Does the visual of seeing something that goes against everything you thought possible freak you out a little bit? I know for me it did. I mean, I was obviously happy that the boy was okay, but to see something so miraculous like that happen right in front of my eyes, I had to take a minute to process that. Okay, let's talk about healing. Healing is a result of love extending itself through the miracle, and by receiving the atonement and act of love, it releases us from fear. The Course says that all healing is a release from fear. To be a miracle maker, we must remember fear isn't real and that our real state or our true state is pure love. In this first paragraph, sentence 3 and 4, it says, "To speak of a miracle of healing is to combine two orders of reality inappropriately. Healing is not a miracle." When we say healing is a miracle, we're not seeing it correctly. And when we believe this, we are taking the reality of love and the illusion of fear, and we're putting the two together wrongly. What we're saying is something was wrong and needed to be corrected. Well, this is another way of saying that love was missing and fear was present. And in order to rid something of fear is saying that on some level it exists. The truth is healing is not a miracle. The reason why is because a healing never happened. When I first read this, I was like, what? But yeah, when I read it and I really studied this, I see what the Course is saying. It's saying that a healing never happened. And what really happened was the miracle simply reminded us there wasn't anything needing to be healed to begin with. Reminding us that love is always there and that fear is only an illusion. Fear becomes a clamp on the so-called umbilical cord that we have connecting us to our source and all the vital things that we need to be a whole healthy state. So fear clamps off our awareness of our truth. And we believe we are a body and we create from the body. This brings us to myth number one. When the Course talks about magic, it's referring to this. Magic is the belief that the mind has no control over the body and that the body has creative abilities, when actually it's the other way around. The body cannot create. It is a tool to be used to create from. Like a hammer doesn't build a house, the builder does. The same with this. The mind is the builder and the body is merely the tool. The worst we can do with our bodies is to not use them for their intended purpose, which is to experience learning. So all physical symptoms and illness stem from reversing this thinking. We do it in two ways. One, we think that the mind can miscreate within the body. And two, we think that the body could miscreate within the mind. And as a result of this thinking, sickness makes its way into our perception. The true reality is our bodies are not a creative source. Only the mind is capable of creating. The reason why is spirit has already been created, and we are spirit. And for this reason, our minds cannot create beyond themselves or beyond itself, because as spirit, we can only create within what has already been created. On to myth number two. The body itself is incapable of learning. It is the mind always doing the learning through the experience within the body. Really, everything that happens, happens in the mind or at the mind level first. But we get taken over by the idea that we are this body. The constant pull of the stimuli we experience from this physical world only makes us believe even more that it's real. This pulling from us the illusion of distance from our source. As a result, we feel more fear instead of love. So further and further we go into the separation. From this viewpoint, we relate even more as the body and not the mind. Okay, the third and final myth. The body is not capable of error. Only the mind is. The body is set in motion and carries out the thoughts created in the mind, essentially a puppet to the mind. In this separate mentality, we forget that we are a mind and we believe we are a body instead. In these bodies, we believe we have to worry about ups and downs we experience that seem to be outside of our control. We view these ups and downs as levels and believe that what happens in one can directly affect us in another. We believe in these levels no matter how much pain we experience in them because they help feed our delusion. This allows for us to keep believing we do exist as an individual. This is what the text is referring to when it says undoing errors at all levels. The atonement does this by realigning us with our truth when we accept it. So to sum these up briefly, A, only the mind can create. B, only the mind can learn. And C, only the mind can err. And I want to say one more thing about level confusion before we move on. This part of chapter 2 is about releasing ourselves from fear, the fear that holds these levels in place. So in order for us to heal and be healed of level confusion, we have to really understand what it is. So I'm going to explain it the best I can. The course tells us that the mind level is the only level there is. Level confusion is when the mind forgets this and thinks it exists within levels. Levels the mind created. This allows the mind to forget its connection and believe it is separate. With separate thinking, the mind believes it is a body existing within this world of illusion. And in this world, the mind identifies further as the body by believing that it's also a race, a gender, a religion, dividing itself off even further. And this is what I think it means by level confusion. In covering part 3, the course talks mainly about how the mindset we choose can affect our health. This got me thinking about the placebo effect. I find it fascinating how science has proven the power of the mind in this way. I'm going to play a clip that tells us what the placebo effect is and how it works. Take a listen.
Now, you've all heard of the placebo effect before, when something with no known therapeutic value can actually make people feel better. It's a great trick our minds play on us, that by believing and expecting something to work, it actually does. Saying a placebo will reduce pain reduces pain, but saying that the same placebo will increase pain increases pain. Believing that a placebo will make you feel better will make you feel better. Believing that it won't has the opposite effect. Now, placebos aren't just pills. They can be creams, injections, surgeries, or drinks. But not all placebos are equal. The effect of the placebo is bigger when the pill itself is bigger. Or if you have two instead of one. Or two once a day instead of one twice a day. And a capsule will usually beat a pill. And a syringe will usually beat a capsule, and anything with a big-ass science machine can outperform any of them. A plain pill works worse than a branded one. A discounted pill works worse than a pricey one, and even a pill in a plain box does worse than one that's all shiny and shit. Placebos that are blue work best as downers, and placebos that are red are better as uppers. Studies have shown that people who take their meds on a regular basis are less likely to die than those that don't. Even if those meds are all placebos. Now, remember that all of this is about comparing things that both have nothing medically effective in them, which goes to show that a placebo isn't about what's in it, but about the beliefs that we load onto it. Our minds create the medicine, and that is pretty freaking weird.
This is incredible proof of how much power our minds have over our healing. The placebo effect scientifically proves how much say our mind can have over our physical ailments. I mean, it wouldn't make sense if it only worked part of the time or sometimes. You have to think that the capability is always there. It's just a matter of how to access it. Let's see what the course has to say about this. Unlike the mind, the body doesn't have a choice. It must follow the instructions of the mind, just like a computer can only do what it's programmed to do. So if we desire one thing, but we believe another, the body is going to respond to our beliefs over our desires. Because to the body, our beliefs are like commands, and desires are more like suggestions. So the upside is that this works in our favor when it's a positive belief, but when it's a negative belief about ourselves, the body responds just the same. If the body is experiencing an illness, that illness started at an emotional level of misthought first. Then it rippled out into the body and ultimately into a world where we believe that illness is possible. Now this can get tricky because in order for us to accept healing, we have to experience it in a way that doesn't freak us out. In other words, in a way that we can believe possible with where our minds are at now. If you notice in the Bible, whenever an angel would present itself to someone, the first thing said was, "Fear not." You would think that experiencing a miracle like this would be exciting and awesome, but the crazy thing is when we experience the miraculous, it can be so overwhelming we can interpret it as fear. We have to be able to take it in or be able to process it in a way that our minds can handle. So when it comes to healing, sometimes we have to allow for outside things like aspirin to help us indirectly so that our fear doesn't get in the way of the miracle. It's so much easier for us to process the power coming from something outside of ourselves. Because the idea of how great our potential really is scares the truth right out of us. So we have to find a buffer to believe in so that we aren't afraid of the healing. But what's happening when we take an aspirin for our headache is we are searching for something outside of ourselves from the physical world, which we know is incapable of creating, in the hopes that it can create something we are lacking. Believing the physical world could provide healing or that we could experience lack is just reinforcing our error in belief. The belief that something within the physical world would be capable of creating and that we could possibly lack, and that the mind has nothing to do with our healing. The Course isn't saying that taking something external is wrong, it's just saying it isn't what's healing us. What's healing us is our belief in the aspirin to take our headache away. That's what takes it away, not the aspirin. It's important for us to know that the whole point of the miracle is love and helping us reach our greatest potential with where we are now. The miracle isn't going to just hold off giving us one until we reach our greatest potential. I want to finish up by sharing with you some thoughts that have come to me in reading the Course. These thoughts are a result of some questions I've had and I've heard others ask along my journey. Questions like, why did God create us or this world if he knew that we were just going to screw it all up? This world of illusion exists because we allow for it to. The sickness that we experience is a result of our choosing from fear instead of love. Fear and lack-based choices have become sickness to our minds, our bodies, and our planet. We are going against our inner knowing when we know that there's a better way. We struggle with the idea of letting go of this world as we know it because it has all the conveniences and the pleasure. We are as a whole, or a sonship, starting to remember or asking about a better way. We are moving in the direction of love. But this world is our creation, not God's. And God isn't swooping in to save us because, for one, there isn't anything to save us from. We know all of this is not our true reality, but two, we use our free will to create from the mindset of fear, making all of this a possible experience. This fear that has trapped us here must be corrected within the levels it was thought possible, and that level was created within our mind. So to undo this, we must choose love and right-mindedness instead, and since we have free will, this is our choice to make. God cannot choose for us. Until all of us fully accept the atonement and remember this, we will continue to exist and perceive from fear. When the Course talks about God depending on us, it's meaning God is putting his trust into his love and his creations, which is us, the sonship, or the whole of us, to eventually figure this out for ourselves. And the moment we all do this, this world of illusion will no longer be needed. That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love sharing them with you, but my intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. Until next time, keep shining.